How's everybody doing here at Hope on the Beach Church? All right, I love it. Great to see you guys. Great to see your happy, smiling faces. My name is Rachel Harris, and I have the privilege of being your host here at the 11 o'clock service. And we just want you guys to be comfortable. Just be yourself, just the way that you came today. You're in the house of the Lord. God accepts you just as you are. And we could take a moment just to say hello to everybody. If you already did that, guess what? Today it's twice as nice. You get to do it again. So, this part, it just really fills our hearts with joy right here, doesn't it? It absolutely does. Well, we also want you guys to know this morning that this is a no judgment zone. We said that already, so I'm just putting a little emphasis, as Shannon likes to say, on that. And if you're here with us for the first time, we want to give you a very special welcome and say we're so glad God put it in your hearts to get up, get out of bed, and come and join us this morning. And if you'll take a look inside of your worship folder, you're going to see this connection card. If you haven't already, if you could pull it out, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from. Do you have any reasons for visiting with us this morning? If you're here regularly, just your name is fine, unless any of your info has changed. But this is our way to honor the gift God has given us by bringing you here today. And we want you to worship in whatever way is best for you, too. So just be comfortable, be yourself. If you want to stay seated, that's fine. But please join us when we rise. If you would like to, raise your hands to praise God, whatever is the best way for you. So this morning, we have Pastor Ray Angerman with us, and he is going to bless us. We're in our Galatians Free in Christ series, and we discuss this in our small groups right now every week as well. But today, Pastor Ray is going to bless us by covering faith alone. So before we get started, though, let's go ahead and invite everybody who might be watching online. If you are on YouTube or Facebook Live, good morning to you guys as well. And if you could share this, you can help spread the gospel. Also, go down in the comments, tell us where you're watching from. We love to hear everybody. If you head on over to hopeonthebeach.com, you can stay connected with us, including downloading today's worship folder so you can fill in the notes as we go. And let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, you say if we come to you in prayer and ask, we will receive. What a gift this is. So we pray today for increased faith so that we will seek you and not alternatives. Remove every negative faith belief that's hindering us from experiencing your wonders in our lives. We need only trust you, Father. We receive the grace to endure all the hardships we face because your word says they are all a test of our faith. We pray to overcome and to be blessed with greater faith as we endure. Don't let us give up. Don't let us look back in the race. With every answered prayer, may we surrender more of ourselves to you. Keep working in us. Keep building our faith. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we all pray. Amen. Let's rise and let's worship.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. Hallelujah. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I sing your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. For me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love, your kindness, our salvation bought by the blood of your Son. Thank you for not leaving us alone here and leaving the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. We are surely blessed because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Sing that again. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Yeah! Hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. One more time, come on. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
And all God's people said, amen. We set, remain standing and pray with me, okay? And Father, in the name of Jesus, we came and we come before you this morning into your house to sing praises to your holy name. Your promises are real. Your promises are true. You've said in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. And Lord, here you are. You said that, Lord, if we draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. So often, Lord, we don't want to do that because we feel like we don't deserve your presence. But Lord, if there's anyone here today that's carrying a burden, may they lay it down at the foot of the cross and the forgiveness that you give them. We lift up to you all those who have been affected by the last two hurricanes that hit our country, and ask your blessings be upon them as they recover, as they're still looking for people that are missing, and as first responders try to restore roads and power and water and all the utilities that need to be restored. And may you bless the first responders and all who seek to help. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for this day in which to live and to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you remember a group called the Moonies? Anybody remember the Moonies? Do you? Some of you remember the Moonies? The Moonies used to sell flowers at airports. Maybe that helps. The Moonies. Yeah. They didn't sell moon pies. But they sold literature and all kinds of other stuff. I remember they had Moonies in Fort Walton Beach, and they were at a gas station and at the corner of this one road. And I would go there specifically, not to buy gas, but to witness to them. And so they would be, you know, giving out these flowers and selling these flowers. And I talked to this one guy, and he had to be maybe 20, probably 19, 18 years old. And he said, "We're not supposed to talk to you." And I said, "Well, I'm just asking you a question. Is that okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, go ahead, ask me a question." I said, "Who is Sun Mun Moon?" He goes, "Oh, he's the Christ. He is the Christ that we all been waiting for." And his eyes lit up. And so he's, "But I'm not supposed to talk to you." And I said, "If I wrote you a letter, would you read it?" He goes, "Yes, I will." So I said, "I'm going to write you a letter." So I did. I wrote him a letter, typed it all out. And the next day he was out selling flowers, and I gave him the letter that was a witness. Because he could read stuff, but he just couldn't hear stuff. That was the rule of the Moonies. Cults are very, very real. And they've infected our world. I was visiting my parents in Texas once, and I got a phone call from someone that wanted me to visit one of their relatives, who was a 40-year-old lady who was distraught, and she was crying, and she was just uncontrollably crying, and they thought maybe she was suicidal, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was. She was recently divorced. That wasn't the problem. So I went to see her, and it was just her and I alone, and I said, tell me what's going on. I heard you recently went through a divorce. She goes, well, yeah, I have, but that's not it. What is it? She said, well, this morning, two Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house, and I let them in, and I sat down and talked with them, and they told me that because I was baptized and believe in Jesus, that wasn't enough, that I needed to go to their church and call God by his right name, which is Jehovah. I had been calling him by the wrong name all my life, and that if I didn't believe what they believed, I had blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and I was going to hell. I don't want to go to hell, she said. And she is very, very serious about this. She had been bewitched by them. They twisted the scriptures and turned them around. In fact, they've written their own Bible called the New World Translation of Scripture, which is totally not scripture. She was terrified. It took long hours to sit down with her in her living room to finally break through with the Bible to show her it is not something that she did that she is saved by, but it's something that Jesus did on the cross that she was saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. In your notes, I have the first A question, which are first fill in the blank. We live in a time of widespread deception. And you know that because you get those phone calls, right? You know, if your credit card gets, numbers get compromised. My wife and I were eating at a restaurant once, and the next day we got this phone call, and it said that we had bought, we paid a big bar tab in Massachusetts, and we bought like $800 worth of tennis shoes. I went, no, that's not us. And we were in Florida at the time, and we assumed that one of the, somebody got our number at that restaurant and had copied it and spent some money on our credit card. Then there are Social Security numbers. People can file on your taxes and get your money if they file Social Security. Title fraud, you hear about that all the time. Title lock, you know, that someone can sell your house or take a loan up against your house. Put it for collateral. If your house is paid off, they go online, they get your numbers, it's public record. Then all of a sudden you find out that you don't own your house anymore. Telephone scammers are really big. The big one is IRS. You owe money to the IRS. And we had a neighbor who did the scratch-offs of the credit cards, and she scratched off $5,000 worth of credit cards, the pay credit cards that you get at, you know, Walmart, and she read them the numbers on the telephone. $5,000. Because they told her she owed money to the IRS. And the next big thing is the tech companies. And there's people posing as tech companies. Your computer has a virus. If you'll give me your number, I'll take control of it, and I'll clean your computer up for you. And for a monthly fee, give me your credit card, and I'll each month, and on the first of the month, I'll clean it up for you, okay? That's all you have to do. The biggest one that I heard of just recently is the random text. You got a random text? Or a Facebook, and I want to be your Facebook. Please put me on your Facebook and friend me. Please friend me. And there'll be a picture of a girl or something and or a text message. You know, hi, is this so-and-so? And you go, no, it's not. Oh, wow, it's good to meet you. And they want to develop a relationship with you. And before you know it, they want to sell you something. I got a great investment in cryptocurrency. Just give me your credit card number and you'll get rich like me. As bad as all this sounds, there's something worse out there. And before I go any further, I told the other services, I'm going to repeat myself a lot in this sermon. It's because what I have to say, I think, is the most important thing you'll ever hear in your life today. And I hope that you'll remember what I'm fixing to tell you. That's the word, fixing, right? Because it has eternal consequences. Money and finances are important. But there's something more important, and it's called spiritual deception. Spiritual deception. It can result in your spiritual destruction. It's not something new. It happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. You would think, them being perfect people, they would not have fallen into sin, but they did. And people still fall for deception today. Satan didn't stop with Adam and Eve. In fact, Peter wrote in your notes, dear friend, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Peter's saying, be aware. You heard about physical awareness? You know what that is, physical awareness? You be aware of your physical surroundings. Don't be walking down the road like this or getting into your car. Be physically aware. Be spiritually aware is what he's saying. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. It didn't just happen to the other guy. I never thought it would happen to me. How many times I've heard that word? You know, the guy next door is such a great guy. I can't believe that he did that. Take heed lest you fall, the scriptures say. And so Peter says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. In the Old Testament, Isaiah wrote, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Do we see that happening in our world today? Where are the moral grounds that we have? I mean, guys can play in women's sports and pastors can dress up like women and do sermons. I mean, seriously, where are we? Don't be surprised that we can call evil good and good evil. You know, we're in an age where we talk about relative truth. And there is no such thing as absolute truth, they tell us. What's true for you may not be true for me, and what's true for me may not be true for you. That's how the devil, who's the author of confusion, gets into the lives of a lot of churches and a lot of people. Jesus warned in Matthew 7:15, watch out for false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. What does that mean? It means they look like sheep, but really they're not. They're a wolf. And we have a lot of people who dress up like sheep that are not sheep. And that's what Jesus is saying. Watch out for them. They're false prophets. B, the first century, the Christian church was under constant spiritual attack. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. He's saying, look, Satan didn't quit in the Garden of Eden. And right before his death, Paul wrote to his student Timothy, and he said this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It's happening today. I mean, think about the churches, where they're at today. We have a fight going on in the United Methodist Church. United Methodist churches are leaving their denominations and forming other denominations because of the theology that they're teaching in. Saw it in the Episcopal Church. I know that St. Andrew's here in Destin went through a horrible division where they had to walk out. And we see it also in the ELCA. There's two splinter groups, Lutheran churches, that broke off from the ELCA. What's happening? They're accumulating for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. What's right for you is not right for me, they're saying. It's okay to do this and not okay to do that. And Paul wrote to the church in Colossians, the Colossian church, see to that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ, is what he's saying. Be careful. It's going. And last week, Pastor Jason read from Galatians chapter 2, where he said this, some false believers have infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and make us slaves. So aren't you glad that we don't have that problem today? Or do we? That is you to see. Are churches today immune to deception? No, they're not. We see it all the time. The Christian church has always been under attack. You know, in this series of Galatians, we're in chapter 3. So I'm going to begin there, Galatians 3:1, and it says this. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Oh, foolish, he calls them foolish. That's a pretty stout word, isn't it? Foolish, you ever been called foolish? You're a fool. No one likes to be called a fool. Well, you know, the Phillips translated it this way, oh, you dear idiots of Galatia. You're idiots. False teachers are infiltrating the church. They're twisting scriptures. They're twisting the scriptures and teaching that Jesus wasn't enough to get you in heaven. Are you completely out of your mind? What in the world are you thinking? That's what he's saying. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul was in the church today? What would he be saying? Men can marry men and women can marry women. Are you kidding me? Who has bewitched you? You know that word bewitched, the only time it's found in scripture is here. You heard it. What bewitched means is the idea that the Galatians were under some type of spell. He didn't mean that someone had literally cast a spell on them. But they were so unbiblical, they were so out of their mind. Their minds were clouded, and it seemed that they had a spell cast over them. Kind of like Ellie, the woman I spoke to, she was totally convinced she was going to hell. Totally convinced. It was like someone had cast a spell on her. And some commentators say that the word bewitched means to put the evil eye on you. And back then they had these cobra snakes that set up like this, you know, and the cobra snake would look at its prey and stare at it, and the prey would just stare at it. Then as soon as they got eye contact, the cobra would strike the snake. And this is what Paul is saying here. Are you under a spell? Are you under a spell, Galatians? Has the evil eye been taken out on you? You know, that's why they tell you not to talk to telemarketers, because one telemarketer lady, she said, let me tell you the secret of telemarketing. They have to be told no 3 times before they will hang up. 3 times. No, no, no. You have to say no, no, no 3 times. If you answer the phone and it's a number you don't know and you answer it, you hear this little beep, remember? Uh-huh. If you hang up, they'll call you back. That means your number's valid, so they'll call you back. That's not how you get rid of them. She says, how you get rid of them is you say to them verbally, please put me on your no-call list. Don't argue with them. Don't engage in the conversation with them. Say to them, please put me on a no-call list. When you get tempted by Satan, say to him, be gone, Satan. The Bible says, if you resist Satan, he will flee from you. Resist him. Seize his head. Don't argue with him. Don't ignore him. Say, look, Satan, be gone. If you resist the devil, he will flee for you. You know, the early Christian church, 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, they were getting off course. And this is why Paul had to, he wrote to the Romans, he wrote to the Corinthian church, he wrote to the Galatians, he wrote to the Ephesians. He writes to all these different churches because they were getting off course just in 30 years. Flash ahead 1,500 years in the Catholic Church. Luther goes, whoa, wait a minute, you're getting away from the truth again. And that's why he wrote the 95 Theses, which were coming up on Reformation Sunday at the end of this month. The Christian church was always getting off course. Satan says, I'm going to knock you off track. How's he doing? He's doing pretty good today, isn't he? There are over 4,200 different religions in the world today. 4,200 different religions, registered religions in the world today. In fact, I have a book called World Religions, and they update it every year because every year it grows. What makes Christianity different from religion? When people tell me you're a very religious person, I go, ooh, no, don't use those words. I'm not religious at all. But here's the difference. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. That's what religion is. Man's attempt to reach God. I'm going to do something here to reach God. Remember the prophets of Baal? Trying to get God's attention. They were ripping their clothes. They were cutting themselves. They were trying to reach God. But our arms are too short to reach God. That's what religion is. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Christianity is man reaching down, God reaching down to man in his son, Jesus Christ. Religion, Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. If you go to their website, it says you must have faith in the way they believe and do good works that maybe you'll make it to heaven. There's no guarantee. The Hindus and the Buddhists teach reincarnation. That means you got to be resurrected over and over again, come back to the world until you reach nirvana, the state of nirvana. The Baja Faith is really, I've got a man who owns a store in Fort Walton Beach, and he's Baja Faith. And he said that Baja Faith, we believe in Christianity, and we believe in, we are also some of the Islamic religion in our faith. And so we believe that one day that if your good works will bring you to the God of Baja. And then there's David Koresh, that Waco cult, the Sun Moon, whom I've talked about. Moses, David, and the children of God. And there's Jim Jones and the Temple's People cult. Remember that one? Where 900 people were committed suicide. Did you know that of the 900 people committing suicide, 300 of them were under the year of 17 years of age? In fact, Hurlburt Air Force Base here in Fort Walton Beach was responsible for going down and picking up the 900 bodies. I knew one of the pilots came to our church, and he talked to our youth group at that time years ago. These are all religions trying to reach God. That's what they are. And they end up nowhere. Christianity is God reaching down to man in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And from my experience, just to let you know, if you have a cult come to your door, if you are not versed in how to defend your faith and don't engage in a conversation with them, they'll try to convince you that you're wrong. And they're very successful, and they have bewitched many people. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this: it was before your eyes that Jesus was portrayed as crucified. Jesus died. He rose again on the third day. And he is risen from the dead. And he gave me this promise: he who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. My faith is in that. That's where my faith's at. So I don't need to listen to any other religion trying to tell me how to get to heaven, because I know the way. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That brings me to C. Is salvation through faith alone, or faith through plus human works? The question was this question was asked, and it caused the whole Reformation, Martin Luther and the Reformation, between Protestantism and Catholicism. The key difference between biblical Christianity and the cults are this question: is salvation through faith alone, or through faith plus human works? Stated another way, am I saved by trusting in Jesus, or am I saved in trusting in Jesus plus doing whatever that is? How would you answer the question, if I were to die tonight and the Lord were to say, why should I let you in? What would you tell him? Better yet, fill in the blank. Number one, fill in the blank. Faith in Jesus plus what equals salvation? We put a lot of things, a lot of people put a lot of things in that blank. Do not fill in the blank. Anything you put in there is the wrong answer, okay? This is the one time I don't want you to fill in the blank, because anything you write in there would be the wrong answer, because there's nothing you can put in that blank that is not heresy. Faith in Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. That's why Paul says, are you foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now perfected in the flesh? You were saved by faith, and now you think you can make it the rest of the way to heaven by your own good works. And I love this illustration. You may have heard it before, but it pertained to me in this sermon. It was a story about Charles Blondin. In 1859, he strung a tightrope over Niagara Falls, and he walked across it several times. He walked across it blindfolded. He walked across it in a potato sack, hopping on the wire. He walked across it. My favorite is he walked across it with a backpack, and he took the backpack out halfway across, and he got out of his hibachi, and he lit it up and fried an egg while he was sitting on the tightrope. And he ate it, had breakfast on the tightrope. He walked up on stilts. Think of that. Stilts on a wire. And then the other one that is really phenomenal, he carried a chair out there walking on the tightrope. He set the chair down. He stood on the chair, and he kicked it up on one leg on the tightrope over Niagara Falls. Crazy. He wasn't done yet. He got his manager on his back, and he walked across the tightrope with his manager, carrying his manager. Now, can you imagine just for a moment, you're that manager? You can't imagine that, huh? And the manager says, wow, you know what? I really appreciate you getting me halfway across, but I'll take it from here. I don't think I need you anymore. I think I'll do the rest on my own. Just set me down, okay? Seriously? Would you do that? The Apostle Paul says, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and now you want to work the rest of the way to heaven? Are you kidding me? That's not how it works. You became a Christian not by thinking you could get into heaven by yourself, but by depending on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So number two, we're not saved by doing, Paul says. We're saved by hearing. And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and this is our memory verse for today. It's from Ephesians 2:8. Can you say this with me? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The very idea of grace negates anything about earning your salvation. In fact, Paul wrote to Rome, the church in Rome. Listen to what he wrote. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. Are you brave enough to come up here? I got something for you. You're not brave enough to come up here? I got a gift for you. It only takes a sec. All right? I got something for you. Here you go. I'll give this to you. Do you know what that is? Hold your hand. What is that? You may not know what it is. Those are dollars. Yeah, those are dollars. Did you ask for that? No. Did you earn it? Did you receive it? Is it a gift? Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to take one coin and keep it, and the other coin I want you to give it to somebody, okay? It's a gift. And here's the point. When you go back to your seat and your dad says, now look, you need to do something to earn that. You'll say, no, Dad, I don't. Do I? Why? It was a gift, right? You don't have to earn that. You've been given a great gift. It's called eternal life. You're going to heaven. When you pass from this world to the next world, you're going to heaven. You don't have to earn it. It was given to you by Jesus when he died on the cross. He paid the price for that. So all you say to Jesus is what? Thank you. Thank you for saving me. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Never forget that, okay? So not only share your coin, share your faith too, okay? Thank you for coming up. You're brave. Is she brave? Yeah. E, you're accepted by God based only on Jesus and nothing else. Only on Jesus. That's it. The message is so important that Paul in verse 5 through 7 of Galatians chapter 3 repeats himself. He goes, does he who supplies the Spirit to you also works miracles among you? Do so by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness, know then it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Those of faith are the sons of Abraham. Paul is writing to a church where the Judaizers are coming in and they said, okay, if you want to be a Christian, that's okay, but you need to be circumcised, you need to obey these rules and these customs in order to get to heaven. And Paul goes, wait a minute. If you want to talk about Abraham and circumcision, I'll go there. Let's go back to Abraham and see how Abraham received the promise of God. And Paul says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. George Barna did a research, and I don't know if you've ever been on a site like this, but they have a religious section. He asked the question, how does a person get to heaven? And almost 90-some-odd percent of the people said by being good. And so he asked the second question, are you a good person? F, can you get into heaven by being good or religious? That's the question. Can you get into heaven by being good or religious? Now, Abraham was one of the heroes of the Bible. I'd say he was a pretty good guy, wouldn't you? Abraham, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, so are you. Remember that song? But did you know that Abraham wasn't such a good guy? He lied. He committed adultery. He put his wife's life in danger. He permitted his slave girl to be abused. He left her and her son out in the woods, Ishmael, in the desert. I don't know what else he did, but he wasn't a really good guy. He was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. You know, and our human nature tells us that if we could get to heaven by being good or religious, perhaps if we pray a lot, if we're faithful in our church attendance, especially if we give lots of money, that should count for something, right? Wrong, is what he's saying. If we do enough religious stuff, it didn't balance out the wrong stuff. Abraham was religious. He built altars. He gave a tithe. He spent a lot of time in prayer. But in spite of all that, that didn't get Abraham to heaven. You know, there is, don't call me a heretic quite yet, there's two ways to get to heaven. Are you ready? How good do you have to be to get into heaven? What does the Jesus say? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. There you go. That's all you have to be. You got to be born perfect. That means you've had to have perfect parents, a perfect dad, and a perfect mom that didn't ever sin. And the only way they could be born is have perfect grandparents that never sinned. The only way they could be perfect is have your great-grandparent, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But we know that messed up with Adam and Eve. So one way you can get to heaven is being perfect. Anybody qualify here yet? No, I didn't think so. Okay. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the second way you can get to heaven is by believing in Jesus as your Savior. Only through Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus died and said, "It is finished," and he took our place. For God so loved the world. That includes us. You know, there's Jews and there's Gentiles, and if you're not Jewish, then you are a Gentile. And think about that in light of these closing verses from Ephesians 3, 8, and 9. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "And you shall all the nations be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3, 8, and 9. Paul says it twice. Number one, and those of faith are the sons of Abraham. Abraham says he wasn't saved by his good works. Abraham was not saved by his good works. Martin Luther said that we are justified by faith. That's the article in which the church stands. Justified by faith alone. One more story. I had a lady in our church whose daughter, she wrote a letter and she sent it to our church. And she said, "I wish to be released from membership of the church. This weekend I'm being baptized as Jehovah's Witness." She grew up Lutheran. She worked for CNN in Atlanta, and I went to see her. Drove all the way up to Atlanta to have lunch with her. It's a long drive, isn't it, to have lunch with somebody? We sat in the CNN big, huge area where you walk in. If anybody ever been to that building, it's really impressive. And I sat down with her, and I said, "What's going on with this?" And she said, "Well, these Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door, and they explained what the Bible was meant to me, and they explained about salvation and how it's not a gift. You got to work your way, and how so important that is, and that I've been taught wrong all my life, and no one had taught me anything like they taught me." I said, "Well, that's not true." "Oh, no, it is true," she said. She said, "You guys are the wrong guys. These are the only people that have it right." She had been bewitched. And it broke my heart. So it leads me to say that every time I preach, I need you to know that you're saved by grace through faith. And our last fill in the blank is number two. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Faith in Jesus is the main thing. That's the main thing. John 3:16 doesn't get any simpler than that. Vince Lombardi in 1961 was coach of the Green Bay Packers, and it was the first day of the new football season. And all the football players gathered around in the field house, and they thought they were going to pick up where they left off last year because they made it to the playoffs the year before. And Vince Lombardi took a football, and he held it up in the air, and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football. Let's get back to basics," is what he was saying. Let's get back to basics. And this is what Paul did over and over again. We are saved by grace through faith alone. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you have given us the greatest gift of all, which is eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, you say that he who believes in you, even though they die, yet shall they live, and that's us, Lord. And so often we get sidetracked by the things of this world, the people of this world try to get us to look somewhere else. Oh, Lord, keep reminding us by the truth of your word that it's not something that we're doing or have done in the past. It's what you did for us on the cross at Calvary that we're saved. And as we live our lives, may we live our lives freely in that good news of salvation through grace alone, through faith alone. We pray that for all those people that are carrying the guilt of sin upon their shoulders, they don't know where to turn. And Lord, help us to be your instruments, your voice, to bring the good news of salvation to them. We pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, where is your faith? You can place your faith in many things, but they will all leave you ultimately unfulfilled and just wanting more, because that's Satan's design. But when racing towards satisfaction, the finish line, it's always just out of reach, isn't it? Because only God can satisfy the deepest needs of your heart. And these may be needs that you don't even recognize yet. But by trusting that God has the best plan for your life, you can be led down the path that leads to his everlasting love. Put your faith in his promises and put your faith in his word. Inside your worship folder today, you have an offering envelope. If you would like to give today, you can place your offering in here. There are several ways to give outlined in your folder, including our text to give number, or online at hopeonthebeach.com. You have a QR code in there, so you can choose the best way to give. Giving shows our faith in his promises, and when we exercise it, God can get us over that finish line to a much greater purpose, the only one that really truly matters for us. Amen. And if you will flip over the back of your worship folder, you're going to see our Hope Happenings. We've got all kinds of stuff coming up. We hope you guys are going to join us. We do have our youth group on Wednesday night. We also have our beach bonfire that's happening this Friday with s'mores and pizza and fellowship. Bring a blanket, bring a chair, bring something to drink, and come have some fun with us. We also have our singles event coming up, axe throwing and ice cream. Those two things go together, right? And I do want to point out that our membership classes are right around the corner, starting on October the 21st. So if you are interested in joining Hope on the Beach Church, or maybe you just want to learn more about what God's vision is for Hope on the Beach Church, come to a membership class, sit in, learn with us, and eat with us in our kitchen, because we would love to share that with you. And at this time, if you would like to take your offering envelope and also your connection card, where you can put on the back there anything you would like to join us for, you can put those in the offering plates that are on either side of the stage. We're going to keep worshiping.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Singing how marvelous, How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
A little bit of an introduction, and in your bulletin, you may have read this. We celebrate the Lord's Supper in glad